together, please. Turn to 336 in the gray hymnal. Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken, 336. Please open us this morning in prayer.
Lord, we thank you this morning that we can reflect upon the truth and your grace to us. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings in our life, the way you spared us from so many things and allowed us to experience things that to shape our lives. We pray, Lord, that you'll bring people into our life this week that we can witness to, that we can speak of your glory and your grace and your mercy. And we just praise you, Lord, that you sustain us. Thank you for this day together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Turn a couple pages back to 329. Son of my soul.
When the soft dew.
together again, please.
Be near to bless me when I wane. There through the world our way I take. Abide with me till in thy love I lose myself in heaven above.
Good morning. It's good to see you all. We have just a few announcements. Business meeting today, 1 o'clock, annual business meeting. Sign up for the Sweetheart Banquet. Youth are putting that on. That is for February 12th, the sign-up sheet in the back. And then the week after that, February 19th, that's a Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, is when we have the roller skating rink reserved for our church, and we'll have control of that. I have other churches. Special day that's coming up February 19th. And those are all the announcements I have. So, if ushers, you come forward. Time for our morning offering. We have many people under the weather today. We'll remember them as we pray. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that every good thing comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. And it is our pleasure and honor to give back a portion for the service of thy kingdom. Bless the offerer and the offering. And we recall, Lord, the many people who are sick, and we pray that thy grace would be with them, that you would bring them back swiftly to health, and that God would receive the glory. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Jumping out to 340. The sands of time are sinking. 340. The hymn is 345, and then right after the hymn, we're going to go right across the page and read together the Aaronic blessing. And then further, if you'd remain standing, as Pastor will come up and read the scriptures to begin the that time of the service. So 345, right into 346. Bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Please remain standing.
Turn in our Bibles to Mark in chapter 13. Verses 1 and 2. Mark chapter 13, verse 1. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. May we pray. How wondrous it is to be able to address the Creator, the one with infinite power and wisdom, the one who is ever and eternally present, the God who knows the end from the beginning and can tell us what will happen in the next minute, next day, year, decade, century, eternity, with perfection. A God who loves us and has provided a means whereby we can be in union with him, know his love, understand his direction. Oh, the God of the Bible, the Father of Jesus Christ, the Maker of everything, we pray that thou would bless us today, not because we in any way merit blessing, but we claim the name of thy Son in all his perfections as the conduit of blessing. We come to God boldly, yea, into the very Holy of Holies, based on the merit of the perfect, righteous Son of God, Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that thou would bless all who are gathered here, all who are listening through some means, that you would bless each of us with clarity of comprehension of God and the will of God and the way of God. Oh, Lord, that thou would be with us in ways perhaps we don't even totally comprehend, but we know that God is with us. Oh, that you would give us strong hearts and wise actions. We live in an age where who knows what a day will bring forth. But hasn't it always been that way ultimately? Who can say what shall be on the morrow? For what is our life? For we are but vapors that appear for a little time and then vanish away. So, Lord, for the moments that we are here, from this point on, if there's any soul here not reconciled to thee, may this be the day they believe and receive the gospel of Christ. And for all who are born again, may we be empowered all the more to serve thee well. May thy grace be with our country and with our government leaders and those who are in the military. And for those who are sick and not to be with us today, we pray that you would give them health and restoration and blessing. Now as we continue, may the Lord direct us through the Scriptures, direct our thoughts, direct our hearts, direct our souls into peace with God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Title of today's message is Building What Will Last. Mark chapter 13, verse 2, Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings. There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So let's begin there with that comment. Temple stones, as we've discussed before, were amazing. They were massive. The pillars, we are told, were 25 cubits high. Single stones. Cubit being around 18 inches long, so you're talking 37 and a half feet. Single stones. And the walls were made of stones 40 cubits long. A single stone. That would be roughly 60 feet. It's just incomprehensible how they cut out a stone that was, well, 60 feet would be from one wall to the other wall here in this building. A single stone and cut so well, no even need for mortar. How would you cut it? How would you transport it? How would you build? It's unbelievable. This is an amazing building. I read an account by Josephus, the historian, who described when the walls were being attacked. He said, 6 days battering on the walls left no impression. His temple was beautiful. The insides were covered with carvings of cherubim, palms, garlands, flowers. All the ceilings, walls, and floors overlaid with pure gold. Gold, silver, and jewels ornamented the outside walls as well. Henry Haley writes that the temple was undoubtedly the most elaborate, remarkable, and expensive edifice on earth in its time. It's one of the seven wonders of the world. This is not the first temple, it's the second one. It's being furbished by Herod, and he's a master builder. And this is just an absolutely unfathomably beautiful, massive building. Strongest, most beautiful thing which man could build. Surely it would remain. Wrong. Jesus said in Mark 13:2, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now how in the world do you even throw down these stones? What a task that would be for the marauding enemies that come in. Every stone cast off another. But there won't be one left upon another, Jesus said. Indeed, in 70 AD, Titus ordered all the city of Jerusalem and its temple destroyed. Why did this sad, sad day of destruction come? Jesus said in Luke 19:44, catch this verse now, they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. That's a key point for our message today. You knew not the time of your visitation. The Jews mismanaged their time. And the most profound and beautiful edifice built by man in the world was lost because they mismanaged their time. Friends, what kind of temple are we building? Or should we say, what kind of life are we building? Is it stable? Is it beautiful? Put another way, how are we investing our time? Toward what sort of work? Remember, we read in 1 Corinthians 3:13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. What's the sort of your work? That's a question we all should ask through this message today. A person's time can be divided among many things. We read in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, There's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, a time of peace. There's an excellent commentary on this text in your bulletin from Matthew Henry. He notes the great differences of human experiences. Sometimes it's this on this end, sometimes it's way over here, it is this. But everything in its season, all under the governance of a providential God. A person's times can be divided among many things. We are given many times to manage. In fact, as I went through the scriptures, I found 9 different kinds of times. There's the accepted time, the time of visitation, time of need, the time of temptation, the time of trouble, the times of refreshing, a time of healing, of reformation, and of restitution. So I'd like to go through those briefly. We are to be stewards of our time. What are our times? Well, there are 9 kind of times. We'll speak through them and see if the Holy Spirit will connect with you in some area concerning your giving account to God for how you spent your time. The first one, time accepted. And that's referencing the time for us to be delivered from the penalty of sin. We find our first type of time in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 and 2. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God here says there is a limited period in which he will show favor and save the lost. Paul declares humanity is now in that period. Now is the time, he's saying. Ship's going to sail. Train's going to leave station, and it'll be too late. Now is the time, the accepted time. Now, handle this time well. Respond to the gospel now. Don't say another day. Don't presume upon the future. That would be very unwise, for you or I may not have any time beyond this moment. Paul declares humanity is in that period, and he urges people to act at once and embrace God's offers of mercy. There are a number of related scriptures to reinforce this point. For example, Luke 13 and verse 25. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. It's too late. You should have responded in the accepted time. That time passes, door shut, it's over. Luke 19:42, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. You missed it. Indeed, we read in Jeremiah 8 and verse 20, very succinctly, the harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. Secondly, there is what's called visitation time. That's the time of Jesus making himself available to us. Luke 19:44, "And shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." Many illustrations of this idea. I have friends, and I think I may have mentioned this to some of you once before, but this is the story they tell me, that one member of this family thinks very highly of this one person. He's a well-known actor. If I said the name, probably all of you would recognize, or most of you would recognize the name. But it happened that the family was staying at a hotel. I forget the reason, but there at the poolside was that famous man. And there, the family was there, except for the one person who really admired him. She happened to be off in the motel room. I forget how it worked. They went to get her, she came down, but then in the confusion, when she gets there, he's gone. She never got to see him. David's visit to Nabal. Nabal missed the point of that visitation. He did not respond during the opportunity that he had. Angels visit. We read, for example, in Hebrews 13 and verse 2, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." The angel may have been visiting us. Maybe there's one here today. I remember one time being in a store. It was a chain store. And a gentleman came in. This looked like a normal person. He had a cowboy hat and boots and was just talking to people casually. Then he left. And I heard a couple of the employees talking to each other. And they said, "You know who that was? That was the owner." Well, the Lord Jesus is the owner. I mean, that's the irony of this second point here. They missed the visitation. Their Maker, their Savior, was there in their midst, and they missed it. They missed it. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. We read in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." The Lord knocking at your door. Third time, called the time of need. The need time. The time when we need God's mercy and grace. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." The context in that chapter of Hebrews, it's about finding rest amidst weariness, sorrow, and sin. Preceding that verse, we read in Hebrews 4:11, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest." Work for this. Keep pushing toward this. There is a place of deep peace, even in the midst of all of our sorrow, all of our weariness, all of our sin. So we read in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Oh, the day of final rest will come, but in the most tumultuous, trying, and agonizing experiences you and I can go through, there is a place of rest now. And that is true in times of temptation. with sins that lead to falling away. We read in Luke 8:13, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. As you go through trials, do you stay firm? Do you fall away? And may indication whether or not you have been reconciled to God at all. See, there will be trials. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. And can you relate to that? So the great trials that we can face financially, health-wise, family, socially, great trials and tribulations. But there hath no temptation in us but such as is common to man. The point here is what those trials reveal, which in this case is no roots. That plant had no roots, and the trial did not grow roots or sever the roots. There were no roots. It just revealed that there was no root. See, the purpose of these roots is to extend down deeply until you find the water. And that's a mark of true salvation. When you and I, through the vicissitudes we experience in life, we find ourselves being drawn more and more till we find that river of God, the Holy Spirit. You know, we read concerning the person who meditates on the Word of God day and night, that he'd be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Do you know how to draw on the Spirit of God? Compare similarly what we read in Matthew 7, starting with verse 24. This is the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says there, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. A note, the trouble was the foundation which was there before the vicissitudes. The trials just revealed there was or was not foundation. There was or was not root. A fifth type of trouble we find in the Scriptures is troubled time, when we need a friend. We read in Jeremiah 14:8, oh, the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in time of trouble. Why shouldst thou be as a stranger in the land and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? This is appeal unto the Savior to be a friend in a time of trouble. In your troubles, have you learned how to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus? I was reading something here. I know some of you have heard this before. I think it bears repeating, but some of the story of Joseph Scriven. He is the author of this well-known hymn here. I'd like to read it first, and then we'll read the hymn, read the description of Joseph Scriven. He had wealth, education, a devoted family, and a pleasant life in his native country of Ireland. Joseph Scriven was the son of a captain in the British Royal Marines, born in Ireland in 1819. After receiving his university degree from Trinity College in London, he enrolled in a military college to prepare for an army career, but his poor health forced him to give up that ambition. He quickly established himself as a teacher, fell in love, made plans to settle in his hometown. Then the unexpected happened. You all know what happened? On the night before Scriven's scheduled wedding, his fiancée drowned. In his deep sorrow, Joseph realized that he could only find the solace and support he needed in his dearest friend, Jesus. Shortly thereafter, Scriven left Ireland to start a new life in Canada. He established a home in Port Hope, where he met and fell in love with Eliza Rice. Just weeks before she was to become Joseph's bride, she suddenly grew sick. Within a matter of weeks, just before the wedding, Eliza Scriven's second fiance also died. A shattered Scriven turned to the only thing that had anchored him during his life, and that was his faith. Through prayer and Bible study, he found not just solace, but a mission. The 25-year-old Scriven dramatically changed his lifestyle, took a vow of poverty, sold all of his earthly possessions, vowed to give his life to the physically handicapped and financially destitute. Often he gave away his clothes and possessions to those in need, and he worked without pay for anyone who needed him. 10 years after Eliza died, Scriven received word that his mother had become very ill. Because of his vow of poverty, Joseph did not have the money to go home to help care for his mother. Heartsick and feeling a need to reach out to her, he wrote a comforting letter enclosing the words of his newly written poem with a prayer that these brief lines would remind her of a never-failing friend she had in Jesus. Sometime later, when Joseph Scriven himself became ill, a friend came to call on him and happened to see a copy of the words scribbled on a scratched piece of paper near his bed. What a friend we have in Jesus. After reading those words, the friend asked, "Who wrote these beautiful words?" Scriven's reply, "The Lord and I did it between us." There's one more chapter to his story. Perhaps you know this as well. Joseph Scriven himself then drowned. But this is what he wrote about friendship with the Lord Jesus. What a friend. In fact, why don't we sing it? Would you all sing it with me? What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
It's also refreshing time when Christ will establish his kingdom. It's referenced in Acts 3 and verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. This is Peter preaching to the Jews about the future time of blessing in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns to earth. The word refreshing, the Greek word there means breathing or revitalizing after being heated with labor, such as from running. See what it means particularly for Israel. We have it described in Amos 9, 13 through 15. Behold, the day comes, says the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. There's a healing time when wounds and sickness are past. We read of it in Jeremiah 14:19. Hast thou utterly rejected Judah? Hath thou thy soul loathed Zion? Why hast thou smitten us, and there is no healing for us? We looked for peace, and there is no good, and for the time of healing, and behold, trouble. John Gill, the Bible commentator, wrote the following. Sin is a natural, hereditary, epidemical, nauseous, and mortal disease, and there are many of them, a complication of them in men, which God only can cure. And he heals them by his word, by means of his gospel, preaching peace, pardon, and righteousness by Christ, by the blood, wounds, and stripes of his Son, by the application of pardoning, grace, and mercy. For healing diseases and forgiving iniquities are the same thing, and this the Lord does freely, fully, and infallibly. The time of Reformation. Reformation time, when reality replaces ritual. This is described in the book of Hebrews, after we have the description in those first chapters of all the Jewish rituals. The writer of Hebrews goes on to say in verse 10 of chapter 9, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. By that is meant when everything that the symbols represent is realized in the person of Christ himself. Jesus Christ is the sum and substance of all types, shadows, and sacrifices, and in whom alone perfection is. We read in Ephesians 1:10 that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And finally, restitution time, when all things corrupted will be perfected. Acts 3:21, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Yes, there was the prelapsarian condition of mankind, and then there was the lapse, the sin, and all those are going to be restored, and maybe even blessing beyond the period of post-lapsarian, after the fall, when the Lord Jesus comes and restores all things to the way they should be, the time of restitution. If I can remind you of a familiar text in Isaiah chapter 11, this is what will happen when the Lord Jesus returns. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, poisonous snake, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. It's Isaiah 11, 6 through 9. And so we start learning concerning the time of visitation, and we find there are actually 9 phrases that I can find in the scriptures where there are certain times, and we are to manage these various times. To review the list, the accepted time, the time of visitation, the time of need, the time of temptation, of trouble, of refreshing, of healing, of reformation, and restitution, all of which find their fulfillment in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here are some things we are to do all the time. We are to bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Trust in the Lord. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And love at all times. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. The bottom line is how we spend our time. is extremely important to God. He says, and I end with this, Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, redeeming the time. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that thy grace would be with us, so that we miss not the time of our visitation. Behold, now is the time. Behold, this is the day. May none miss the day. May none miss the calling. How are you speaking to this person, Lord? What are you saying to that one? To what are you drawing this one? To whom that one? Oh, that we would know and do the will of God. Perhaps there are people here today who have not yet been saved. May this be the day. May now be the time where they resist the grace of God no more. They receive not the grace of God in vain, but they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of their soul. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's all stand together, please. Our closing hymn this morning is number 249 in the Gray Hymnal. O Master, let me walk with thee. 249.
This morning.